Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I want to congratulate our Sandy Club producer, Kevin Kistner. Not only does he do a great job at night with Sandy, but he leads Carnoustie today in the Open. Way to go, Kevin Kistner. Tiger Woods is even par, par 71, five shots back. There you go. That's your golf update, in case you care. Thank you. The Miami Dolphins have said kind of mixed messages out of there. They found a document in their like code of conduct saying you could get fined by the team and suspended up to four games for protesting during the anthem. And then there were reports that the Dolphins have no intent of doing that. And looks like a little bit of a backpedal, Chad, on the behalf of the Dolphins, because they're going to be villains if they start fining players. So we'll see what goes down in a couple weeks when the season starts. Meanwhile, Carmelo Anthony will be part of a trade to Atlanta, but it's a money dump. And I don't know how all the ins and outs of this work, Chad, but it does happen. Players get traded, then they get released, and
yeah, NBA salary cap stuff is a little confusing at times.
Right.
Yes, how that works. Let's cut a player, get rid of the salary, trade him to a team who's just going to waive him as soon as he gets there, because they don't want the salary either, and it just magically, poof, disappears.
Let's not even... say it's just going to happen.
Yeah. And then he can negotiate with whoever he wants to negotiate with.
And apparently the rumor is the Rockets are maybe interested, that sort of thing. So we see what happens with Carmelo, but nobody except for me even wants to consider Carmelo Anthony coming back here to the Nuggets. So I won't waste your time with it.
You really do? That's
yeah,
not
but I'm thing. Totally biased because of Syracuse. I just admit it. It's just me being a fanboy.
What is Syracuse?
He won a national championship
15 years ago. Have to do with the Nuggets today.
I just love Carmelo Anthony.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
No matter.
That's what dudes get to do in sports. We love other dudes, and sometimes if you win the right championships, dudes love other dudes forever.
And you get to talk about a sport on TV wearing makeup. But what's that got to do with the Nuggets today?
Nothing. I just love Carmelo Anthony. Would love to see him here, because when he first came here,
What do you love about him today?
And I don't know anything about him today. I don't think about him today. I think about him when he won a national championship for Syracuse. I think about how when he was drafted here, I promised I would get some sort of season ticket package. And I took my oldest son, who's now 18, and he was 3 years old at the time, and he sat on my lap, and we watched Nuggets games and rooted for Carmelo Anthony. It's like a really fun, cool time. I remember going to the Western Conference Finals and the Pepsi Center being as loud as I ever heard. I remember going to the playoffs every single year Carmelo was here, including with Coach Jeff Bizdelic before George Karl. I just remember all these things, and I remember meeting Carmelo several times over the years and having positive interactions with him and really liking Carmelo Anthony. Sorry. So I'm a fan. I am strictly a fan. It's not a very sport analytical look at it. I'm sure there's 10 million reasons why he doesn't make sense from a basketball perspective.
Right. You can still be a fan, but not want him on the Nuggets.
You really can't.
Yeah, you can.
I can't be I'm just too big of a fan of Carmelo. Mike Evans, can't stand Carmelo. Mike went to Syracuse as well. So Mike kind of lives in the now more than I do in terms of the basketball
stuff.
So your
fandom for Carmelo supersedes your fandom for the Nuggets.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
There we go.
Like, my fandom for Doug Flutie made me go to sports bars and watch Chargers games and root for Doug Flutie. But did you remember Doug Flutie started for the Chargers after he was with the Bills?
I was in the AFC West. I sacked Doug Flutie. I know. I'm well aware of Doug Flutie.
You were still playing.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, and then he went to New England.
Yeah, I played with Doug Flutie. We were on the same team.
You're so lucky.
I was on the field when he did the last drop kick.
You were on the field for that. So yes. How cool was that?
It was super dope.
Was everybody pumped?
Well, because it was a build up to it for like 4 or 5 weeks where he kept working on Bill.
And before,
how
often in practice would he make that play? What did he connect?
Oh, he was fantastic.
Like 100%, right?
That was the only reason why Bill allowed it, because it wasn't a stunt.
Right. Like, I'm going to do it 30 times in a row, and I'll do it whenever you want.
Yeah.
And you, I could be doing nothing. If you say Flutie dropkick, I'm going to hit it.
So you've been in training camp, and you see how the coaches come up with some hypothetical contest.
By the way, I can't believe that you guys didn't get in a fight with whoever you were playing once that happened, because that is so in your face.
It was the Dolphins. But you know, at training camp, how the coaches will come up with some kind of contest. They'll pit the two kickers who are at camp against each other.
Yeah.
One's for the defense, one for the offense. And whoever wins gets an extra hour of curfew. So the offensive guys are in the defensive kicker's face.
Yeah.
Bill made us do that with Doug. Try to throw Doug off his game. Doug was unflappable with the drop kick.
He's a cocky dude, isn't he? In a good way.
He's a very self-assured, very confident dude.
Right.
Because, you know, let's face
dude
it.
Dude didn't get rattled. Never did.
At 5'8", 5'9", to play NFL quarterback.
Right.
How could you not be?
Yep.
But at any rate,
guys will follow Doug Flutie.
He's that kind of guy.
He's
a winner.
Of course, you had Tom Brady, so of course they're going to follow Tom Brady, too.
Right.
But, you know, like, you put Doug Flutie against Rob Johnson in Buffalo, which happened, it's night and day. Night and day. And it was only because Ralph Wilson shoved Rob Johnson down Wade Phillips' throat that the Music City Miracle happened. I know they had the lead in the game, but you realize Rob Johnson led the Bills to zero touchdowns in that particular game. Had Flutie been in that game, it wouldn't have even been close.
I think Flutie led a touchdown drive in that game against the Dolphins as well. We didn't play very many starters. We had to play our spot secure. That was the year we lost to the Broncos.
Flutie had to be in his 40s at that point, right?
I'm about to look up how old he was in 2005.
No, he's just one of the all-times.
Yeah.
All-timers. He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But it's really not the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
It's the NFL Hall of Fame, not the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Yes.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be in Canton, which is a crap city. But whatever.
Okay.
43. Should see Flutie now. The dude's still in unbelievable shape.
Well, you can watch him. He used to do Notre Dame games.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah.
The problem is every time we meet him now, the Super Bowl, Alfred's always like, "Oh, Flutie, come here. You got to, this guy loves you." And it's just, all right. It's like the fourth time, like, Al's told Flutie how much I love him. It's like,
We even got a picture of you two together.
Yeah, I had to turn it down this past year because it's been like 3 years in a row of me getting a picture with Doug Flutie. I mean, we're good. I've fulfilled all my dreams. The ultimate, though, if you go back and watch Football Life, Doug Flutie, there's D-Mac in Buffalo asking him about being short. I'd go ahead and go through it. It's like at the 30-minute mark. It's like halfway through.
Did you say as a fellow short guy?
No.
Did you preface your question?
No. But when I saw A Football Life and I heard
your voice,
my voice asking Flutie a question, there's not a lot of things that I treasure and save from my time in the media, Chad. That is never getting off my DVR. I mean, I know exactly where to show you if you came over the house.
You put the triple lock on it so the kids can't delete it?
No, I haven't done that. Is there a triple lock? I should do that. I could lose all of it. That was one of the coolest moments of my broadcasting life when I heard that.
That's awesome.
I could not believe
that. What the heck? Let's do this. I'll play 2 years, call it quits, and let's get the heck out.
Doug, a lot of people say that you're just too short to play in the NFL. How do you address that issue that comes up again?
All I know is I've played the game at my height all my life. All right? I know no different. And
he fed off of people.
Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Big Sexy. Yeah, a smile on my face.
Even now. You're grinning from ear to ear over here.
Oh, my God.
You got to be on the Doug Flutie Football Life.
You know what's funny? What year was that? That was in Buffalo, 97 maybe? No, it's like I was almost out of there, like 90, 99, 98, yeah. Does my voice sound any different now than it did then?
It's pretty similar. It's definitely recognizable to be you.
Play that again, Big Sexy.
I'll play 2 years, call it quits, and let's get the heck out.
Doug, a lot of people say that you're just too short to play in the NFL. How do you address that issue that comes up again?
All I know is I've played the game at my height all my life. All right. I know no different.
That was 20 years ago, bro.
Oh, my God.
There's a little bit more bass in your voice now.
Yeah.
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 20 years ago.
I still remember it. I still remember thinking about the question. Here's what I thought. When he came to Buffalo, it was a big deal because he's coming back from the Canadian Football League. But here's something kind of quirky. In Buffalo, on our basic cable, we would get Canadian TV. So unlike, you know, here in Denver, you know, I don't know. You probably get the Canadian Football League someplace here at this point now. But back in the day, if you weren't living on the border or in Canada, you weren't getting Canadian Football League games, Chad, right?
Right.
However, in Buffalo, we were quite aware of everything Flutie had been doing. Like, his games were on, Chad, all the time on just, like, anybody's regular TV coverage. So there was no mystery about how great he was in Canada Buffalo. Well, he played for a few different teams, but he played for the Argonauts. He played for the Stampeders. And did he play for the Tiger Cats? He might have played a couple times for the Argos or something like that. I mean, it's the Canadian Football League. It was all over the place. I think his most success came with Calgary. So when you got to understand, Chad, when Flutie came there to Buffalo, oh, dude, it was such a big deal. So imagine the PR room, whatever PR room, media room you want to imagine, packed. Packed. And Flutie is my man. But what is in a packed room with Doug Flutie, what inevitably will be a question that has to be asked?
How tall? Issues of being a quarterback.
Right. Right. Has to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's going to say it. So I knew that, and I was like, you know, if I'm going to do this, you know, I've got to ask. I got to be the guy. This is like a little like mental toughness test for like me and you know, in the broadcasting days, right? Because
right.
I am not a host of a show. I am just like a sports reporter. I'm like a co-host on a show. I'm just trying to get my wings going. I'm in my 20s. I'm just trying to make it happen, Chad. I'm trying to make it happen. I'm like maybe like, what, 28, 29 years old. I'm driving and I'm nervous. I'm thinking about how I'm going to do it. I'm asking the question. Because in those press conferences, you kind of got to get to the point. You know what I mean? Like, you got to make it kind of quick. I ask it. It gets all sorts of attention. I mean, that particular... I mean, it's...
Well, it's on his football life.
It's... That day, it's everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere. It's on ESPN. My voice is on ESPN. Every newspaper. You know, it's like... It's just everywhere. Which was awesome. But then to see Football Life years and years and years later, and it's memorialized then.
You've gone viral a few times.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Oh.
On a variety
of
things.
Yeah, I have. That's what I do. I'm D-Mac. I go viral.
It's happened.
You go, man.
That's an all-timer. Love that, dude. Anyways, totally got me off the point. You want to hear some Danica Patrick from last night? See if she was funny or not?
Let's do it.
Brian, you got like a buzzer or a ding if we like the joke? How about like or bum bum ba da if it stinks or some sort of applause? Let's go through some of the jokes, right? All right, here's how she started.
Welcome to the 2018 ESPY Awards, everybody. You excited? I'm Danica Patrick, and it's true, the ESPYs have never had a host like me before. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I'm their first race car driver. So obvious. For the last 25 years, the ESPYs have been about celebrating the magic of sports. No matter what else is going on in the world, sports have always had the power to inspire and give hope. Unless those people are from Cleveland. That's true.
All right, what do we give it? I'm waiting. Buzzer?
Six.
Buzzer, huh? Chad, you give that the buzzer?
I'll give it a six.
Yeah. Okay. Next joke.
I've been coming to the ESPYs for many years, and when hosts have singled me out on a joke, I know it's a sign of great respect. And I can't wait to show that same respect to so many of you tonight.
Sexy? Chad?
Boo.
0-2. Here we go.
World Series champion Jose Altuve is here.
And when I say it's incredible that Jose can reach the top of his profession without being able to reach the top shelf of his locker, it's out of respect.
Oh, boy. Anybody big sexy? Chad?
Yeah, crickets for sure.
I mean, it's just so predictable. Oh, it's Jose Altuve. He's short. Have they never had a woman host before? All right. More, or are we done? We could go a couple more.
We have lots of NFL stars with us tonight. Nick Foles and the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are here. NFL Offensive Player of the Year Todd Gurley's here. And Odell Beckham Jr. is here tonight. Odell is once again healthy and will return to the field next season. But his hairstyle is still listed as questionable.
She's no Peyton Manning. Peyton was good last year.
How bad are these jokes? I mean,
hockey's Las Vegas.
That one's too long. I can't even go there.
They're poorly written.
Let's do this.
That's right. We have to mention the elephant in the room. It's time to talk about the national anthem controversy. I don't know.
I guess there's a funny graphic there. So
but,
she,
you know, we all have bad days.
She wins on some sort of. Here's herself. She wins on some sort of graphic. She won a joke on another graphic.
Yeah. He made quite the little oopsie in the playoffs this year. You know, it's not good when you have 100 tattoos and none of them are your biggest mistake.
J.R. Smith. Oh, okay.
Who was the first athlete to host, do you know?
I don't know.
LeBron James in 07.
I bet he was all right. Here's the last joke.
All right, it's time to give out some awards tonight. Remember, the ESPYs are voted on by all of you. And there's no greater honor than being recognized by actual fans. This year, millions of them cast their votes on Twitter. And only 1,000 were from Kevin Durant's burner accounts.
All right, here's one that might be funny. This might be funny.
But, you know, we all have bad days. Speaking of, Tiger Woods is back. Sort of, I guess. I mean, you know, why do people keep talking about this guy when he isn't winning? Who does he think he is? Me?
That's as good as anything.
They got to go back to the joke writers and give her better material.
The Zach laugh
is great.
Some emphysema with the Zach laugh. Oh, God.
The Golden State Warriors once again won the NBA Finals. Turns out, with just a little grit, determination, and 4 of the greatest players on the planet, anything is possible.
The sigh at the end of the laugh.
Is it the jokes or is it the presentation?
Both. It's not great material, but her sense of timing and voice inflection.
It's awkward, isn't it?
Because Peyton's a little, you know, he's got his funny style where he's a little stiff, but it's still kind of cool and fun.
Yeah.
She's just more stiff and not as much cool and fun.
Yeah.
If anybody needs me, I'll be taking another nap.
Now, Peyton's just funny. I don't know. Why even have her tell jokes? I thought the video was pretty funny that she did the Me Danica thing. Spoofing the I, Tonya. I mean, why even do... whatever. I mean, you know, I guess they just...
That's what you do. At an award show, you do a long monologue full of jokes. And you come in between jokes.
I mean,
in between
you don't have to.
You tell jokes.
You could just do that. You could come out and not... You could just present like a video piece and just get the show going.
No. As a host, you got to tell jokes. Either that or you got to sing and dance.
I mean, we really needed that 6 or 7 minutes out of Danica Patrick?
That's how award shows are done. Oscars, all that stuff. That's how it's set up.
You got to start with like a roast?
There's a monologue. That's how a late night show is. It's a monologue
for jokes. Yeah, but those are
jokes.
Professional comedians.
Right. The format changes because it's an athlete?
I don't know.
What's she supposed to do?
What are we being critical? We're being critical of a show that's just all made up crap and, you know, there's nothing else going on because the All-Star game just finished.
Wait, made up crap?
The ESPYs are all made up crap.
The Best International Athlete Award? The Come From Behind Performance Award? Dramatic Individual Performance of the Year? Memorable Performance of the Year? Most Spectacular Play?
Well, then in that case...
So many big NBA moves this offseason. Kawhi Leonard went to the Raptors. Dwight Howard went to the Wizards. And Ben Simmons went to the Kardashians.
Outstanding performance by an athlete entertainment.
There were awards. There were awards.
Outstanding performance by a sports personality in attempt to break into show business. That was awarded in 1993, presented to Shaq.
Okay. So you used to be really goofy.
Yeah, those are all the discontinued awards.
Listen, the moment last night, I don't want to discount the whole thing because there were some serious moments.
You don't need to be a Russell Wilson, an Aaron Rodgers, to make the difference out there. Every single person in this room can be a difference maker. You can be just a normal person, gets up every morning and goes to work. But you can be a difference maker, putting a smile on those faces. My kids, my friends, when they came in to see me, not once did they ever have a frown on their face. So I just urge anybody out there, if you have somebody out there who's suffering, it doesn't have to be cancer. It could be somebody not having a good day. It could be your mom, your dad. It could be your grandparents. What you say to them and the smile that you have on your face, that can be the difference in them making it the next day. Remember that. Always, always persevere. Like Jimmy V said, never, ever give up.
My man, Jim Kelly. One of the greatest athletes. One of the nicest people. One of the hard Scrabble lives.
He's in a fight right now.
Yeah.
I think he's back in the hospital today.
Love that dude. Yeah. And I thought it was great that Elway and Marino both showed up. And the juxtaposition. Elway, you know, listen, everybody's got their bumps and bruises. Nobody's like they used to be. But, you know, John still looks like a mountain of a man. Dan Marino still looks pretty good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're all in suits, so everybody looks good. And there's my man, Jim. And the photo, the video of, like, Jim talking, just racked with cancer, trying his best, inspiring everybody, and over his shoulder is mountains of men in John Elway and Dan Marino. And that's that 83 class. And just think, sometimes life isn't fair. Life sometimes is just not fair. But I thought it was awesome that Elway and Marino were both up there with Jim Kelly. I think the three of them are linked together forever. I wish my best for my guy I really had a lot of respect for. He was the first major athlete I ever covered. You know, he made a difference. He was such a great leader. Talk about instilling a sense of urgency like we talked about. You had no choice with Jim Kelly. By the way, like his speech there, the way he was talking right there, that's who he is. That's not made up. He'd be like that no matter what.
Yep.
He's a man's man.
Yeah.
Likes having his, you know, beers and going hunting and, you know, but also had a huge heart. Had such huge tragedy with his son Hunter, who had this genetic disease that was so crippling. And Hunter lived a lot longer than he was supposed to, but Jim and his wife Jill had to deal with that. Had two daughters afterwards, even though it was a genetic condition, like really risky for the two of them to have more children. They had two healthy daughters. And then Jim gets this cancer stuff and has just been battling, and inspiring. And Chad, he means so much to the people of Buffalo. Never left. Didn't want to be there in the first place. I'll never forget being at the radio station, 97 Rock, and he had already retired, but he was still friendly with the show. And He came in one day and he was all excited. He had plans for a compound in Virginia where the whole Kelly clan was going to move down there, Chad. Mm-hmm. Like they were going to, it was going to be just like a massive lake and multiple houses. And this is because his family is huge. And this is what I'm doing. This is the dream. But everything got put on hold when his son Hunter was born, and you know they were battling this horrible, horrible disease that Hunter had. So all those, Chad, all those dreams went away. And in the middle of it, he found that where he was really, truly the most loved, respected, looked up to was in the city of Buffalo. Who would ever think that, right? Like, you know, like why that place? If you can be that person to a city, though, it's such a special thing, man. Oh. Hardly anybody gets to do it.
Yeah, there's the Steeler greats. They have that same type of tie to the city and the city to them, where those identities are so closely linked together and they have that same type of relationship. But it's rare. It's rare.
So rare.
It's rare in the sporting world.
Because most of the times, once you get love. You get your money, you get your...
You're gone.
Audi 5000.
Yeah.
Love, Jim. Keep fighting there, 12.
Yes.
It's the drive on the fan.
Never give up.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
I want to ask you about... Danny Amendola. Here he was on a podcast. It was
the comeback season podcast on Barstool Sports.
Thank you, Big Sexy. Here he is. You know, when you're on Barstool Sports, by the way, there's a little pressure on you as a guest to, you know, gotta kind of keep up that Barstool image, right, Chad? I mean, it's like.
Gotta be a little wild and crazy.
Right, you know,
let's just say I cleaned it up
right,
a little bit.
Right, right. You know, if you're a guest and you're just going to throw out the boring cliches on Barstool, I mean, everybody knows kind of like what they're doing. So maybe you get a little bit more of the truth, right?
In theory.
And here's Amendola talking about, well, here you go.
No question. And
What was the question? It was about the difference between Miami, playing in Miami, and New England, right?
Head coach Adam Gase and head coach Bill Belichick.
Ah, here we go.
No question. And, you know, it's almost like Coach Gase is one of the guys, one of the boys. And you know, you want to fight hard for your boys. And back in New England is almost like, you know, you had a principal in a principal's office, you know, in a good way and in a bad way, too. So, you know, much respect to, you know, all the coaches that given me the opportunity to play for their team. And, you know, I'm obviously excited for where I'm at and in the future and where it's about to go.
All right, Chad. You played for New England. You played with Belichick. You've played other places. What do you think of those comments?
I don't think you want your head coach to be one of the boys. That's my first thing.
All right, why?
Because there's enough boys on the team. You need a man, a leader, a principal, to use Amendola's word, to lead the boys in the right direction.
So is that a mistake by Gase?
I think so. I think so. Thinking about my high school team, my college team, Bill Cowher. There's a certain way a leader projects himself, and being one of the boys is not that way. And we were talking earlier about a sense of urgency. Dennis Erickson, my first 2 years in Seattle, would sit in the team meeting, in the front row of the team meeting before the team meeting started, sipping his cup of coffee, just kind of casually sitting there. And he'd be there 5 minutes before the team meeting started. Then he would get up and clear his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd have to clear his throat again. And he'd have to clear his throat again.
Okay.
Just to get the room's attention. Because there was no sense of... You've been sitting in the meeting chilling for 5 minutes. The first meeting, Mike Holmgren walks in. The doors are closed. The room is silent. Somebody opens the door. Mike Holmgren walks in. Someone slams the door shut. And the meeting starts. There's a sense of urgency with that. There's a sense of presentation with that. A sense of who I am and how things are going to be run with that. Being one of the boys, in my mind, is not the best way to run a football team.
Okay. So he's... So Amendola is being...
I suppose it could be welcome.
Honest, but not necessarily... Maybe it's really critical of Adam Gase.
I think he is being honest. And I think it could be welcome after you've been in New England, which is like a kind of a pressure cooker
New England's got to just burn you out. I mean, I understand what you're saying. But there's got to be a burn factor there that once guys finally leave New England, it's got to feel a little bit of a sense of relief.
I would have to think so. It's lighter. It's a different situation.
Yeah. You would like to think you could win without that sort of pressure cooker. And you probably can.
You can, but can you do it consistently? Can you do it over and over and over? Are you just catching lightning in a bottle occasionally? To be as consistent as they have been, I haven't been around a team or a coach who's been able to pull that off without that type of mindset.
It's hard to argue, isn't it? How has Tom Brady dealt with it so long?
Tom is literally the greatest teammate I've ever been around. And I think his ability to deal with that may be his greatest attribute because he gets everyone else to buy into that atmosphere.
Right. Because if he didn't sign off on it, forget it. Yeah. Here's James Harrison.
To be honest with you, listen, I wanted to hate this dude. Like, the whole time I'm playing, I hate Brady.
I got it.
Everyone's like, oh, he's such a great guy. He's such a nice guy, you know. You know, we got to run it, but we got Garrett. LeGarrette, he came over. And I'm like, man, what's up with Tom Brady? He's like, oh, man, he's a great guy. I'm like, stop lying to him. No, he's not. So as soon as I get there, who's the first person I see? Smiling, happy face. I'm like, yeah, he's just doing this because he got to do it, right? He's just faking.
Yep.
So, you know, you watch how he moves in the locker room, how he communicates with guys, different guys, you know, guys that have been there forever, guys that's just getting there. And, dude, he's a great guy.
He's one of the guys, right?
Yes, he is the ultimate teammate.
Okay, so
there you go.
I said those exact same words many times on these airwaves, and now you hear from James Harrison. So it's not just some Patriot line that we all say that Tom Brady's
the crazy thing,
the greatest teammate ever. But, he literally is.
But here's the great conundrum question: is it because Tom Brady's the ultimate teammate that makes Belichick's system actually work? Like, meaning Belichick could not pull his authoritative, the way he is, the principal sort of attitude. Does that work if you don't have a teammate like Tom Brady?
Tom Brady certainly makes it easier for everyone else to buy in. But Belichick couldn't be Belichick without the skins on the wall, without winning.
Right.
Everyone shows up there with an expectation now at this point of how they're supposed to act, how they're, you know, how they're supposed to conform to that system. So it's almost as if he's built a strong enough system in place where that system keeps the players in line, whereas Bill doesn't have to actually do it.
Right.
The system works for him.
You know what? The real truth, it's probably the two of them together.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Bill he's literally an amazing football coach, but to have the greatest or questionably the greatest of all time sit in the front row and take Bill yelling at him in front of the rest of the team, it sets a tone unlike any other tone I've ever seen by a player. No other player I've been around has been able to set that tone as Tom has, that it reverberates throughout the entire organization. Every player feels it. Every coach feels it. If this guy's willing to be coached hard, then I got to be willing to be coached hard.
All right. Hopefully an end of an era sometime soon there in New England. But it's been pretty powerful, that's for sure. When we come back, evidence that the commissioner of baseball doesn't understand his own sport. Details on the way.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Cecil's Fantasy Draft Party, Sunday, August 27th, Doubletree DTC. This is going to be so much fun. $15 per person, food and draft board included. 1043thefan.com. This is such a great event.
Hell yeah!
I want you to go to that. Rob Manfred, about the DH in the National League. This is the commissioner of baseball.
Extinction is a bad word. And, you know, if the National League drops the DH, that form of baseball becomes extinct. Or it adopts it. Yeah, I said drops. I meant adopts. But if they adopt it, you know, the pure form of baseball that's played in the National League becomes extinct. And I think there'd be some reluctance.
Okay, that's with Dan Patrick. I'm saddened that Dan Patrick didn't immediately say, how many black pitchers did Babe Ruth have to hit off of? There's some things that should be extinct.
Pitchers hitting should be extinct?
Pitchers hitting should be extinct.
The pure form of baseball?
It's not a pure. There's the concept of a pure form of baseball is absurd. There's never been a pure form of baseball. Ever. Ever.
Cite that. Back it up. Give me why you say that.
Well, baseball was invented in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And the rules were vastly different than they are today when it was first invented. So if we wanted to go to if you want to see a funny video, see Conan O'Brien doing old-time baseball when they played with the old-time uniforms and old-time ball and the old-time rules.
I've seen that.
It's
one.
A really, it's really funny video.
Right.
So I guess that's as pure as it gets. Well, okay, that all changed. And then you played baseball in the early 1900s. It was interrupted by World War I. When it came back from World War I, it looked completely different. And this is kind of the Babe Ruth time after that, where Babe Ruth was just, men among boys. However, during that time, black players were banned from participating in Major League Baseball. So that's a pure form of baseball? Really? So never mind there were no black players, there were no Asian players, there were no players from Latin countries, Chad. When was there a pure form of baseball?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to tell me, oh, D-Mac, you're getting too serious, it's the rules we're talking about, I call BS on that. The rules are based upon the players. And if you don't have the best players playing, which they certainly didn't, there's no purity there. Then you tragically take forever until Jackie Robinson comes up, and then we're interrupted again by World War II. We get it, and even though Jackie Robinson came and played, there was still massive discrimination against players and ridiculous rules, and still we didn't have an influx of Asian, where Sadahari Oh was hitting home runs left and right in Japan. We get into the 60s.
With that great kick step. That thing was awesome.
We get into the 60s, and now Bob Gibson is pitching, and there's more of an integration and just, you know, the 60s form of racism before the civil rights. Don't forget, in 1918, we had the Black Sox scandal and large amounts of cheating. And then we get into the 70s, and players are playing on cocaine and other sort of drugs. And then you have the infamous 80s Mets that are all sort of, you know, on all sorts of hallucinogens or whatever when they're winning. And then you dip into the night. Then you get into strike time. A couple of strikes in there when baseball was just canceled, no World Series. Brought back to life by steroids. Brought back to life by steroids. It was after the strike, after a cancellation of the World Series. That's when we all got back into baseball because of two unbelievable steroid cheaters in Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. Is that pure baseball? Top that off with Barry Bonds kind of taking everything over the top, breaking records left and right. Is that pure baseball? So the purity of baseball is a ridiculous term. I would make the argument right now. And if we can get lasers involved and get umpires to just hold baseballs behind the catchers and just get rid of this ridiculous nebulous strike zone, and we can simply have, if you want purity, if you really want purity, use technology, establish a regular strike zone that's the same for everybody. That's pure. That's fair. That makes sense. Not this one umpire has this strike zone, another umpire has another strike zone. That's not purity. That's stupidity. To not use everything at your availability. To not open a game to everybody. That's the purest sense of sport, when sport can be as good as possible. Not the way it used to be. So this whole concept of National League purity is ridiculous. Never mind the fact it is an insult to pitchers and hitters to think it's a good idea to let pitchers hit. The ability to be such a great pitcher, to be able to pitch at that level, takes such a high amount of concentration and training. It's disrespectful to ask pitchers to hit. Because at a young age, the bat comes out of their hand. Because if you want to be a great pitcher, Chad, then it's not just about playing high school baseball and just doing everything. Pitching has to be a job. an important job. And you got to lay down the bat, and you got to focus on pitching. And I don't care if every once in a while Madison Bumgarner hits a home run. That's luck. He's an athletic guy who got lucky. So is Kyle Freeland. There's not one position player that can pitch as good as those regular pitchers. You saw what a joke it was when the Cardinals threw position players against the Rockies. It's an insult to pitchers to ask them to bat because it means to tell them you can do both or should be able to do both. You should train at a high level to pitch. Oh, and you should also be as good as a hitter or capable of hitting as somebody who has trained their entire life for it. And by the way, you flip that and it's an insult to hitters that you allow pitchers to hit. Because it degrades what they've put in to hitting a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. Purity would be the DH, not the other way around.
I would respectfully disagree. We're up on the clock, so I can't get into all my disagreements. If you're a baseball player, you hit. It's what you do. It's part of the game. Just to sub you out because you happen to throw pitches from the most elemental skill in the game, hitting the baseball.
Why don't you go practice some place kicks and forget about training as a linebacker?
I could do that. You can do
really?
Both. And kickers have to tackle occasionally.
I love it, Chad. Gotta go.
So do punters.
Drive Reloaded's next. Thank y'all. Facebook Live now.